formally start the Wednesday, February 22nd Oceana Community Service District meeting. And the first thing here is the roll call. But before we do the roll call, I would like to do a moment of silence for Mary Lucy. As many of you know, she passed away, I believe it was the 17th, along with her wife, the same day. And she, you know, dedicated a lot of service here to the district for various years. I believe it was 8 years. She was also, you know, diehard activist for the LGBT community and probably other causes that I don't know about. I have a couple of fond memories of her. We didn't agree on everything, but I grew to really like her. She was definitely unforgettable. So, a moment of silence. All right, next on our agenda, we have the roll call.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Vice here. President Gibson?
Here.
And President Bia?
Here. Next, we have the fax lady.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, we have agenda review.
I move we approve the agenda as presented.
A second. Roll call.
Director Austin?
Yes.
President Bia?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Okay, next we have public comment for matters not on the agenda. Again, it's public comment for matters not on the agenda. This public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, public comment is limited to 3 minutes.
Good evening. My name is April. I am a resident of Oceano, and my public comment is I would ask that the board would consider a second microphone for this section of the dais, because when they share a microphone, it makes it difficult for the audience and the taped recording. It's not always caught on the microphone itself. So if they each had a microphone, that would limit this lapse that happens all the time. And then to kindly and gently remind you all to speak into your mics, to lean into them, to pull them towards you, Ms. Gibson. That would be really helpful for us, the audience, to be able to hear you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next on our agenda, we have special presentations and reports. We have staff reports. We have the sheriff's station. I don't believe anyone's here. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
How'd you miss me?
Okay.
I saw you earlier on. I just.
All right. Good evening to the board. This report is from January 1st through the 31st, I believe. Yes. Call for service, we had 383. That's up 47 from last year, which was 336. We had two assaults, 28 disturbance calls for burglaries, four thefts, which include mail theft and from a vehicle. No phone scams, which is great. Seven suspicious circumstances call. That includes four for vehicles and three for subjects. We made 35 enforcement traffic stops. We had 17 arrests and 41 assist other agencies. And of course, our biggest event for the month was the levee and with the evacuations and the evacuation orders and everything that went forward with that. And at the other meeting, I gave kudos to the public because the public was just very cooperative and went along with what needed to be done. So it just felt like neighbors helping neighbors. So we rarely give you guys compliments, but hey, compliments to the community of Oceano for going through a hard time, but doing it with great style and cooperation. So.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions?
No.
Thank you. Next, we have the FCFA Operations Chief, Steve Lieberman. He's not here. Operations Utility Manager, always present.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. So currently, Lopez is at 55.2% full, which is 27,260 acre feet. We had one sewer system overflow in January. We're still getting delivered state water, which is just over 36 acre feet, and we pumped 8 acre feet. We are continuing to do weekly and monthly samples. We had 12 work orders, 15 USAs, 10 customer service calls. We had two after-hours call-outs. One was 1475 23rd Street for a broken service line. We opted to wait until the morning because it was late at night, and got that replaced and backfilled with slurry, and we got it paved recently. The second call out was at the lift station for a high level alarm, which was Saturday about 9 p.m. Once we responded to the location, we figured out that the transducer had failed, and what the transducer does, it communicates to the pumps on the inflow of the wet well, tells the pumps when to come on and off. So we keep one in stock on the shelf, so we got that replaced by 11:30 that night. Everything was up and running. If we didn't have it, it'd be all manually done by an operator until we could get that part. So we do keep it on the shelf. And we had FRM assist us with the electrical aspect on that just because it required an electrician. All right, we completed removing the hydrant on Highway 1 for the Caltrans widening of Highway 1 next to the carpet place, so that's completely done. And we had a leaking toilet in here at the office, got that fixed. We also paved past Roble Street after a line break. We completed all our comic codes after meter reads. We had first of the month equipment startups. We fixed a few light poles on Highway 1. We got a few more to do, and we're communicating with PG&E to get the power restored to the new pole. So hopefully they'll get the power restored here shortly so we can get that up and running, but it's in place. We're still continuing to replace meters, including a 3-inch meter on Cienega. We had multiple recycling runs with concrete and asphalt just because of how many lines have been breaking, and we've been cutting up the street and repaving. We replaced a broken service line also on 23rd Street, but it was about two blocks away. Yeah, we had another break. And we had some trash cleanup on 17th Street where the RVs were at once the Sheriff's Department got them relocated. We went in there and cleaned up all the debris that was over there. We had door hangers. We completed dead-end flushing for our system. We attended a free class regarding hydrants and valves. Weed abatement at Well 8 and the yard. And we started sewer jetting, and we had lock-offs today. Any questions?
Tony, I have a question. This relates to the county flood control retention basins, recharge basins that are surrounded around the community. And we've had a little bit of conversation in the past about, some of them are pretty in good shape, like the one in close to my neighborhood at Elm and Paso Robles. I mean, it's overgrown, but it's the fences are up there, looks solid and stuff. And then there's some pretty rough ones. I would like for us to approach the county with a request that, and it's maybe not the best time to do it, but I'd like to at least get it on in the queue. With a list of kind of prioritized in terms of these basins that need attention. I mean, they're there's couches in them, the fences are falling apart, that kind of stuff. And I don't know what, you know, I'm not trying to give you a new work, you know, directive or anything like that, but as you're cruising around and your crew's going around, I mean, if you could, over the next couple, 3 weeks, kind of keep that in mind and kind of check them out or maybe take a few pictures with your thing, and we could start to put together a list and then submit it to the county and ask for those to be cleaned up. And or what do you think of that idea?
I mean, it's just like any other thing, like potholes. Any resident, as a resident, I have taken pictures of potholes and let the county know. I have done stuff like that as a resident. I mean, we can definitely look in that, take some pictures, and submit it. I mean,
well, I think like Public Works, you can email them and ask, you know, to have it done as a citizen. That's what I always do. I try trying to get them cleaned up. And the potholes, there's one by the post office that just about wrecks your car.
They're horrific.
So you need to contact or even send it to Supervisor Paulding's office and ask about it. Because we have talked about those basins, but it's not.
They're not cleaned out like on a yearly basis?
So the major time when they get hit is the weed abatement. When Five Cities Fire Authority comes through and they hit these pieces of property with weed abatement. And then you'll start to notice they'll get knocked down, taken care of.
That's coming up in April?
Shortly.
Yeah.
It's coming up right before the summer.
Well, I appreciate the, individual citizens, making their requests. I just think that if the OCSD Board of Directors make a request to the county with a list and with some pictures that, and CC that to Mr. Paulding, that would carry more weight.
Oh, absolutely.
Than us as individuals.
Yes, I agree with you.
Uh-huh. I think the supervisors all look to serve the individuals. I don't think any more weight would come from OCSD than a private citizen. That's what they do. I think if you were to send something, I think it would get just as much headway as if
CSD. Okay, well, sounds like we, well, I have, and I don't know that I've been successful.
Try it again. I'll try it. Everybody can do it,
Well, I would like to continue down that line of having the Community Services District contact the county. This is what Mr. Clemens told me he thought would be a way to go about it. And anybody that wants to pursue their own individual, I encourage them to do that as well.
Yeah, we'll get documentation, pictures.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next on the agenda is the OCSD General Manager Report. I don't know if you are going to have to do it for him. Okay. Next, then we have the Board of Directors and Outside Committee Reports, and I have none. Vice President Gibson?
Nothing to report.
Director Austin?
Nothing.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Nothing.
Director Varney?
Yes, I have a report on the Five Cities Fire Authority meeting that I attended on February 17th. The Board of Directors of Five Cities Fire Authority are brand new. It includes myself as chair, Land George, Arroyo Grande City Councilwoman, as Vice Chair, and Daniel Rushing, Grover Beach City Councilman, as Board Member. The meeting was relatively brief. We pretty quickly went into closed session and talked with council on three different topics, and then reconvened into open session and had some discussion about the current situation with Five Cities Fire Authority. And kind of the most important part of that was that both Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande have contracted with independent firms to do economic analyses and viability analyses of, you know, moving forward or not moving forward as a fire authority. My sense was that the assumption is that Oceano Community Services District is not going to be part of that. I mean, everybody's aware that we have filed for divestiture. And although there has been nothing obviously finalized about that. And both of those communities, Grover Beach is getting its report on February 27th and Arroyo Grande on February 28th. So next week there'll be a lot more information on the table. And I guess, I mean, and pretty much the felt sense was everybody's waiting for that to come in to see what comes out of it. Barbara Harmon with Five Cities Fire Authority Friends had got an award or an appreciation for fundraising, and they were able to contribute $10,000 towards the purchase of equipment. The chief said that they are going to need a new hook and ladder truck. It cost about $1,200,000, and they need to get on that fairly soon because it's a three-year build-out for it. You can't just, like, tell them to deliver it next week. And that pretty much does it for the Five Cities Fire Authority report for this month.
Thank you. Okay, next on our agenda, we have public comment on special presentations and reports. I don't believe we have any. Then we have consent agenda items. We have public comment. Members of the public wishing to speak on consent agenda items may do so when recognized by the presiding officer. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, public comment is limited to 3 minutes. Seeing none. May I have you briefly look at the consent agenda and move to approve it?
I have a question about the minutes. Is this the appropriate time to bring that up?
Go ahead.
Okay. Trying to find it here. When we concluded our discussion, number 8A, the statement, the action statement, the last one, says the board directed staff to make the proposed amendments in a redline strikeout version and prepare a draft resolution for review and consideration at a future board meeting. My recollection, and I confirmed this with the video, that actually it was said that we would be getting that this meeting, and I just wonder why we don't have it.
So yeah, today our general manager isn't here, and we set a future agenda, and he said it could be February 22nd, but he's out today, so we're going to have it for your March 8th.
March 8th?
March 8th is the next meeting, yes. And I already have the budget, and I think you guys requested also for Parks and Rec to be on there, so.
So it's not on the agenda because the general manager's not here.
And I would say based on already our workload in items A, B, and C.
So for motions tonight, we still need a 3-2 majority to on a vote to put something on the agenda, since we haven't approved the...
Correct.
Okay. Seems to me that would be a pretty quick action and not controversial. So I'm sorry it didn't show up on the agenda. That's all.
Okay. May I have someone motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll move we can approve the consent agenda as presented.
A second.
Director Austin?
Yes.
President Villa?
Yes.
Director Joyce Senneson?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Okay, that brings us to item 8, business items. We have public comment. Members of the public wishing to speak on business items may do so when recognized by the presiding officer. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, public comment is limited to 3 minutes. Seeing none, we will then proceed to A, discussion of Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee and provide board direction as deemed appropriate.
Thank you, President Villa, members of the board. In item 8A, we have the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee that was requested by your board at the February 8th meeting for your consideration tonight. The district is authorized to provide Parks and Rec services. The approved budget for 2022 and 2023, which is going to be reviewed in item 8B, dedicated no sources of funding for Parks and Rec for this year. So if your board chooses to establish an advisory committee tonight, a budget adjustment would be required to fund things like board stipend payments and staff time dedicated towards this committee. So the budget adjustment requires a 4/5 vote by your board, which is based on a government code section 6112 section C. And with that, if there's any questions, we would be happy to answer them.
Well, thank you. I guess I'll take the lead on it since this is my agenda item. I will eventually make a motion to formally create and recognize the Oceano Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee this evening. I think it's going to provide a really great opportunity for the CSD to have more grant opportunities to do more for the community and in lots of different ways. I've gotten a very positive response from people in the community to the idea of a Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee and OCSD moving into that area of operations. Already the Director of Facilities for the LCMR School District has volunteered to be a member of the Advisory Committee. The Oceano Elementary School Parent Teachers Association has expressed interest in being a member of the advisory council or committee. I have contact in with the director of the Boys and Girls Club in Oceano to be a member of the committee. And it will take some time to get things up and running. I don't think that lack of a budget has really much relevance to that. I believe that, well, I know that I won't be worried about getting a stipend for my work on the committee, and I don't see that, we'll need much in the way of services from the administrative staff. And the budget, is a separate item from the creation of the committee, which, expresses this district's, this administration's desire to expand our, services for the community.
For the youth.
For the youth, it would be for, everybody.
Yeah.
For all walks of and ages, and the recreation, the health benefits of it, are for everybody in the community. And it does also open up flexibility for us. Like, for example, The grant that we're going to be talking about coming up here, the grant application for Clean California, would be a perfect opportunity to get the rest of the sidewalk built from the north end of the train overpass to Truman Street, so there was finally a complete sidewalk to the beach for people to walk to it from inland Oceano. Now, given still after over 100 years, we still don't have a crosswalk on Highway 1, but you know that can come later. So that's just one quick example of how recreation and parks can be utilized to bring more money into the community. So with that, I want to make a motion that the Oceano Community Services District initiate and formalize the creation of a Parks and Recreation Advisory Council.
I think that we need to have discussion among the board before going right making a motion. There's been no discussion.
Well, I believe discussion will come after the motion is made and seconded, right?
No.
Well, no. I would volunteer. I would completely volunteer to help with this project, and I know many other people in the community that have approached me and said that they would volunteer for such a thing.
Would you be willing to second my motion?
Yes,
Director?
I would.
Okay.
I object. Point of order.
I think there does need to be some discussion. The idea here is that there's discussion amongst the board members about the proposed item on the agenda. At the end of the discussion, the question, I think, is your motion is move to create a Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee.
Correct.
So the question is whether or not the rest of the board agrees to create that committee. So if there is discussion on that item, that has to happen before the motion is made and seconded.
I appreciate that clarification, Mr. Martin, because in the last two or three meetings, my first meetings here, there were motions and seconds made immediately with absolutely no discussion at all as a way of ramming through a decision. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to ram anything through. I mean, we've had this is the third time it's come up. So I will, we can hold back the motion, but we know that the motion will come forward at this point. So I defer to the president.
Yeah. Are there any?
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll open it up to discussion.
Can you tell me what that grant was, the name of that grant again? California?
The one that's in our agenda.
Clean California through Caltrans.
The Clean California grant.
Okay, is that federal monies or state monies or what?
State.
I'm not sure.
State.
State through Caltrans.
It's administered by the state, right?
Okay.
Pardon me.
So what is your end goal as far as the parks? Besides a committee to discuss it.
Okay, I didn't catch the first part of your question. What is my...
What is your goal?
End goal.
My end goal is to better the lives of all Oceanans and to provide them with more opportunities for recreation that lead to better health, that lead to happier families, better outcomes in all areas of their life.
Okay. Now, when I've looked at other CSDs locally, most of the grants that they apply for require that you already have land, and you already have shovel-ready plans, that are done by architect engineer, mm-hmm. that you have X amount of parking, and you have restrooms or whatever. And so there's a small one that was done in Cambria, I think, or Cayucas. And that one, they had to spend $84,000 before they could apply for the grant. So many grants have strings attached.
Yes.
So where would the funding come from?
Well, I'm not very interested personally in parks right now. I'm interested in recreation. Talking with the facilities manager of the Lucia Mar School District, he has told me that the Oceano Community Center is not used at all in the summer, and it would be a wonderful venue for young kids' soccer camps, for basketball leagues. I'm in contact with youth basketball, South County. What is it, AYSO, the youth soccer. They're excited about the idea of having a venue. Those people come in and put on a program with their funds. Mm-hmm. There are many grants available for disadvantaged communities, which do not require any match, that could be applied to potentially staffing and programs. So, and yes, there are upfront costs sometimes in applying for grants. But there's, so I hope that answered your question.
Well, partly.
So the focus would be on recreation at this point and getting a committee to start looking at how to do this. We're not looking at a lot of cost.
Exactly. I mean, this is, you know, we're going to take a couple, 3 months to be just getting together, connecting dots, building capacity, you know, in the community.
You know, the One Cool Earth thing that's in our packet right now, that's exactly how that started. There was a couple of moms who got very excited about making a garden.
Mm-hmm.
And that has turned into a huge program.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we are, and I, you know, I have to apologize because I wanted to speak to that.
Oh, but I'm sorry.
I missed it in the agenda. And I don't know if it's possible to go back to it, but it is, I mean, it's an example of, actually a very surprising example to me, that OCSD is allocating $18,000 to a environmental education program that's being run across the entire county. And I didn't, I that sounded so much like out of our purview.
I'm not sure that's accurate, actually.
Yeah.
May I jump in just real quick? We do $10,000 out of the garbage fund, and that was approved in the budget during June in the preliminary and the final budget. And they have a composting program, which we use for our, that's how we establish it, through the garbage fund. So the $18,000 I think you're referring to is a grant they are applying for, which is our support letter that was approved in item 60.
I thought there was another $5,000 from another fund.
The water fund will eventually allocate $5,000 towards it when we go ahead with the Prop 1 storm grant. So when we're placing the barrels under the field, they're going to help us educate the students about how the rain barrels are going to, you know, feed into our drinking water into the basin. So that's not in this current budget. It would be in the one where the Prop 1 storm grants are when we're at that part at the project. So we say we're going to, but it's in the future. And then this grant is not funded by us, but it's through the county. So just to be clear, I didn't want to get that confused. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think the other thing to point out is that all of the, all that money that goes towards One Cool Earth is related to our responsibilities. I mean, we're, you know, it's related to the garbage and water conservation. So there's
Parks and Rec is part of our responsibilities,
but we have no funding. Yeah,
it's still part of our responsibilities,
or it can be. I mean, we can have a power and not use it. And I think that's one thing to point out, that the reason that the park Parks Power has never been funded is because we owe so much money on all of our responsibilities that answer to safety, health and safety issues. And those are the priorities of the service district. And parks are nice, but...
Well, we're not talking about building a park. We're talking about park and recreation programs.
Right.
And
actually, what you're talking about is whether or not you should form a committee about parks and recreation.
Yeah, and forming a committee won't cause any budgetary problems. I mean, we're not asking for a budget.
Yet.
Everybody who is saying that they are willing to work on this committee is volunteering. So,
if I may finish,
what is the problem? What would the problem be?
He can't answer. Well, what I want to know too is you said all these youth sports in the community center. So, do they all pay for themselves?
I don't know the exact what the finances of American Youth Soccer Organization is, or the South County Basketball League. Mm-hmm. I think that there probably are some fees that might be involved for kids. Mm-hmm. There would certainly be some fees related to the maintenance of the facility. There would need to be a custodian there, and there would be cleanup, those sorts of things. To the degree that the school district would be willing to pick up some of that cost, I don't know. But that's the sort of thing that the advisory committee will be working on.
Mm-hmm. If you have all of these volunteers and people ready to do it, and Lucy Amar's interested, why do you need a committee through us? Why don't you just form your own committee and do what you're talking about?
Because you can't.
This is a function of the community services district that we have taken on, and I'm talking about we are going to manifest that now and do it, and there is, I can assure you that in the 23-24 budget, there will be money for recreation and parks in the OCSD budget. Right now our budget is showing, if I understand it correctly, year-end surpluses in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. That ought to be available right now to transfer, I would think. Startup funds to the tune of $40,000 or $50,000 for recreation and parks.
So you would propose that when we don't even know what our fire protection is going to cost?
Yes, I would. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're putting that as equal to health and safety issues?
Not at all. We already have over $1 million allocated to fire.
And it's a part of
health. Let's be careful about the budgetary item discussion. Again, I'm just here to help referee. Trying to stay focused on the task at hand. The agendized task is whether or not this body wants to create a Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee.
Would you like me to make my motion again?
Okay.
Well, yeah. Yes.
I've got more questions.
Other directors want to talk.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I personally don't see any harm. It's not going to cost any money. And Director Varney's put already seems like a lot of time into talking to people to form a committee, and I don't see why we can't form a committee. We have another director here that is willing to donate her time to the committee, and it is in our purview.
No,
I think we've exhausted the conversation. Maybe we should just put it to a vote.
We need to have is, when you come back with your findings, if there's, we'd have to know how much money it would cost, because it does cost time and, money, and if we have to pay, maintenance and different fees, it's going to add up. And I'm really
against... And that's what the committee would go out there and find out.
Right.
Yeah, and the committee is a volunteer committee, so it sounds like we should form the committee to go ahead and find your findings, get the information
Correct.
That you're asking for,
but
and then go ahead and...
I will not fund any monies over the $5,000 that we kind of agreed on for that mini plaza, because we have more important things to pay for. I mean, we're paying on
more
loans.
More important than our youth?
Pardon?
More important than our youth?
No. But that park is an amenity. Everything else we're funding.
We're not talking about a park. We're talking about a committee.
I understand that. But whatever you're doing, if it's recreation, if it costs money, then I don't support it unless... I mean, I can't because, you know, we owe too much money. I mean, we owe a couple million on our water infrastructure. We don't even know what the fire protection will cost.
A park and recs department could eventually make money.
Maybe we should wait for the budget discussion until Carrie has a chance to take us through the budget.
Yes.
Back to this. Well, can I?
Yes.
Okay, so
Director Ross.
I think it sounds, you know, a committee, like what you're talking about, sounds great. I think once you get meeting with, you'll see the Boys and Girls Club has tons of programs. They're completely involved with the kids is for their recreation, and also the school has a lot of programs. So when you meet with them, and if you want to have a committee that does that and works with those other agencies, that's great. But we cannot spend any money. The money that would come out of this would come from the property tax, and that is going to our fire services. And at this stage of the game, when we don't even know what our fire department is, so if you can do your committee, I think it's great to see, you know, you want to volunteer. I don't have a problem, but I do have a problem with any kind of funding or staff time being used. If you want to get out and talk to the schools and get the community center going, doing some things, that's great. And I agree with everything what Shirley said about, you know, our priorities, health and safety. You know, you have all these great programs and you're spending money, and then when something happens, like we gotta get our water tanks fixed, people are gonna be coming in here very upset that we took money for our, you know, health and safety and our infrastructure and did it on something that other people, like the schools and the Boys and Girls Club, they're already doing all that. So I would support, if you guys want a committee, that's fine, but no actual staff time or money. If it's all volunteer and you want to do that, I think that's fine.
I agree with Linda, or Director Austin.
So you want to make your
motion? Well, if I may, just to draw, I mean, if I don't want to speak for Mr. Clemens, but if he were here, I'm assuming he would want you to take a look at the last sentence of his report. And just to reiterate a little bit about what, you know, Director Austin said, that a budget adjustment, if the vote is to create a committee, a budget adjustment will be necessary in order to allocate any staff time to that committee, which would include things like making agendas for the committee or things like that.
I think they'd make their own
so,
agendas.
I mean, a lot of that would have to be taken on by the committee itself,
what,
as long as there
yeah,
was
the committee
no
would
budget
do that.
Item
I think what your plan,
for it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So,
I think what your plan is to have your committee then come report, right? Is that what you do? You bring it to the board here? And then
yeah, yeah, there would definitely
it.
Be reports.
But it's like we say, this, we want to vote, that have another vote that we do not support any funding at all? Or?
Well, we can't have that because that's not on
that's
the agenda.
That's not right. I understand that, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to be perfectly clear about this. And Mr. Martin, I would like your counsel on this in terms of, I am not proposing that we just create a committee exploratory to go out and do talk with people and, you know, come back and report. No, we are voting to formally adopt our Parks and Recreation Authority on behalf of the community of Oceano. And as part of that, we are creating a Parks and Recreation Advisory Council, the OCSD Parks and Recreation Advisory Council.
my direction would be that that seems to be a little bit more of a reach than what was agendized. I think that what was proposed, at least as I understood it, and I think as Mr. Clemens understood it, was that there would be the formation of a committee. And then it would be, not you call it whatever you want, I guess exploratory, but Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee to make recommendations to the board. That's a little different than saying for sure that we are now, like, you know, activating that power. But, you know, my recommendation would be to not reach that far, but that is the decision of the board.
Right. Well, and that is what I am saying. We are initiating that power. We are claiming that, and we are creating the vehicle to operationalize it in the Parks and Recreation Advisory Council, which reports to the
board of
directors.
As a whole.
Right. They're advisory only. Now, is there any particular wording we need to use to make that absolutely clear that that's what this motion is doing?
Again, your initial motion, I think, was just to, you know, that you had moved to create the Parks Oceano Community Service District Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Provide a board direction or direction to the board regarding anything related to parks and recreation.
Right. And so, but my intent is to make this official that we are claiming this responsibility. We're taking it on. And this is how we're going to begin it.
Why don't you take a stab at making the motion?
Well, I just want to make sure that this motion is valid.
I want to be clear, too. What you're saying, that if you make the motion, that then it will automatically start, there will be funds allotted?
No.
We'd have to vote for, it'd be a 4/5 vote if you were.
You would have to make a motion, or you'd have to, and you couldn't do it today because it's not on the
right
agenda, but you'd have to raise that as an issue to make a budget allocation for that committee.
But you're not going that way now.
So.
No, okay. I'm not advocating. I'm not going to make a motion about money. No. Okay, so I move that the Oceano Community Services District, I can't think of the right word, initiate its authority over Parks and Recreation as granted it by LAFCO on behalf of the community of Oceano, and in exercising that authority, create a Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee to advise the Board of Directors on projects and programs relevant to recreation and parks in Oceano.
I second that.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Gibson?
No, due to lack of funding now and in next year's budget.
And President Villa?
Yes. Public comment?
That was our mistake.
That was my mistake.
Uh-oh. Oops.
Okay. So next,
moving on
to B.
Sorry.
We got review of the district's budget status.
To be fair, you did call for public comment right at the very beginning
of that. At the beginning, but she wanted it after the discussion.
Yes. But, so you were
told it twice before.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were okay. I mean, you could have, but.
Okay. So we got the review of the district's budget status as of December 31st, 2022.
All right. Thank you, President Villa, members of the board. All right. So in item 8B, we have your second quarter budget review. There are no budget adjustments proposed at this time based on the review. We have the normal front-loaded expenses that we see each year at the beginning of the year, the normal expenses like liability insurance, LAFCO costs, which are front-loaded in the beginning and they remain the same till the end of the year. So they look high, but they'll remain the same. We also have a couple line items that were running high in different funds, one being the lighting fund. As Tony mentioned, operating supplies are high in that fund because we replaced a pole on Highway 1 that was hit by a car. So then in the water fund, we have a line item on maintenance and equipment that's high, and that's because we replaced a motor on Well 8. We also have the utilities that are running high in the water fund, and that's based on the district's pumping that we do out of Well 8. So once it got back up, we started pumping out of it. We also had to replace a valve at the yard that feeds the tank. So that's where fixed assets are running high in the water fund. And then the last two items are in the wastewater fund. We had to replace the jetter suction hose and mount and seal it. So we had to rent a ditch witch in the meantime. So both maintenance on equipment in the sewer fund are high, and leasing equipment is high. So those are the five items that stuck out in the budget worksheets. And then I was just going to basically each fund show the variances and give a quick overhead view of how each fund is doing. So we'll start in the administrative fund. So the administrative revenues, they're estimated on SLO County's property tax revenue forecast for the fiscal year 2022 and 2023, which was provided by the County of San Luis Obispo. And then our expenses are also well under budget. Most of our savings there are generated from our salaries and wages and our services and supplies at this time. Next, we have our fire fund.
I have a question on that.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm looking at total expenditures on that and estimated budget variance, $182,000.
Yes.
So what does that mean? 182,000. I mean, I know what 182,000 is, but so is this surplus that's projected to be left over?
So it's savings as of right now. And just so you know, all the salaries in this fund, the service and supplies, and the operating crew overhead and benefits, all of those are allocated to each one of our funds. Most of them going to water and wastewater. Those are our big ones, right? Then we also allocate some to our garbage fund. And then a very little bit to fire, lighting, and facilities. They have the least amount. But each year when you guys adopt, I shouldn't say you guys, your board adopts the preliminary budget, you adopt the admin allocation. And so basically that is how the administrative expenses go out. So you'll see that on the top half, are you looking at page 43 with me?
I'm on page 42.
Oh, okay.
Should I go to 43?
No, 42 works too. That's a summary. So that works. So you'll see above other sources of funds. That's where if you look over at the top, the second line down, it has the 182,503. So that's it being reimbursed by the other funds. So basically whatever you use in those administration expenses is refunded by all of the funds I spoke about, the water, the wastewater, the garbage, the lighting, fire, and facilities. So they basically cancel each other out. Does that make sense?
No.
No, okay.
but not because you aren't explaining it. I mean, I'm just, then why isn't it just a zero? I mean, I don't.
Basically, you'll see the savings, this 182, you'll see the savings in each fund. So whatever we save in this fund will be passed on to those funds on that admin allocation.
Okay.
So it's good when you save here because it helps out the other funds.
Okay. So in other words, this $182,000 is encumbered.
It basically passes on to all your other funds. And you'll see on each one of the other funds, when you flip through, so like on the fire fund, you'll see their portion, you'll see their variance. Admin allocation is the very last section. It basically goes salaries.
What page are you on?
I'm on 46 now. I just went to the closest fund. So that basically goes uses of funds. We go salaries, benefits, services and supplies, capital overlay. Then the last one is your admin administrative cost allocation. So that is the fire funds allocation of the administrative costs that we were having a savings in. So you'll see over there in the fire fund, you only save on the variance $3,675.
Uh-huh.
That's passed from the, but you'll see once you get to the water, which is our largest fund with the admin allocation, you'll see their savings in administrative cost allocation goes up to $73,507. So if you add all their admin allocation costs together, it adds up to, that's the variance, but the total would be the $963,464.
$963,000.
Cost, all passed on to the water fund, sewer fund, garbage fund, lighting fund, fire fund, and facilities funds.
Okay.
Carrie, it's like a significant savings. What's that due to?
So most of it, I think I wrote, was for, we have $58,000 in personnel savings. We currently have $64,000 in services and supplies. And then the operating crew direct labor allocation is also passed on, and we have a savings of $182,503. And so when I did this budget, we had a staff member that had left. So basically, I budgeted to as if I was going to hire at the highest level. And we ended up hiring someone, at step one, not at step three, because we always budget like we're going to hire, another Tony. Well, not really, he's salary, but
okay.
Yeah.
So you budget
for worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, not worst case. I don't, highest case scenario. Yeah. Both are all good cases. Yeah.
So are you, maybe to cut to the chase for me in one, if we're on one area. So through all of this, at this point in time, there's a projection of a year-end surplus that is not encumbered.
For the admin cost.
For OCSD as a whole.
As a whole.
Where if there's $1 million surplus at the end of the day, mm-hmm. where does that surplus go to?
Okay. Good question.
Into the general fund?
Yeah, so good question. Well, it depends on if that surplus is in the enterprise funds or if it's in the general funds. If it's in the general funds, we basically would pass that on to your next budget under fund balance available, and then it would be put into your reserves. So with your general fund reserves, you have public facilities fees, and then I believe we only have minimum available now, just based on where they're at with what we've been paying for fire. So you basically, fund balance available gets passed on to your next budget and then ultimately into reserves.
And if they're in the enterprise funds, the surplus is in the enterprise fund?
Correct. And it's based on, how each fund does.
Right.
So the fire, lighting, and facilities are all in the general, and then your enterprise are your water, wastewater, and garbage.
And the money just stays in that fund. If there's a surplus, it just stays there.
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay. Anything else with you? Okay. All right, and then we were on, next is the fire fund. So fire fund also, the net variance is $15,597. Most of that, as you can see, is coming out of your administrative cost allocation. And I believe we had a little bit saved in professional fees there. Then we have the next one. The lighting fund is only estimated to be under budget by $1,296, so we're basically right on budget there. We have our facilities fund. So you can see here in the revenues, we look to come under budget by $14,228. That's because we haven't received any public facilities fees, which are dependent on development. So you'll see when we get more development, you'll sometimes get $20,000 right away, depending on how big the development is. And currently, in the last two quarters, we've received none so far. And then we're under budget there, under expenditures by $11,489. So then we'll get into our enterprise funds, which we'll start with the water fund. So basically, revenues we seem to be coming over based on our, we've billed for three of our six billing periods because we bill every other month. And the last two are going to be some of our lower ones, and hopefully our next three will be some of our higher ones based on the spring and summer seasons. So right now we're estimating $50,000, but that could, it depends on seasonally how we do. And then we also have a huge savings in the expenditures, mostly because for state water and Lopez, because we budgeted high for state water, and as of right now, this is what we look like we're coming in at. Next, we have the wastewater fund. We're right on budget with revenues, with only being over by $5,219 so far. And then under expenditures, mostly we are saving on personnel expenses. And that's because most of the beginning of the year, our staff works on in water, and towards the end of the year, they start to do sewer jetting. So you'll see this ramp back up to get closer to where we budgeted. And then the last enterprise fund, we have the garbage fund. So revenues right on track with right over $4,000. And then expenditures, we are have a positive variance of $34,196. And with that, if there's any other line items that anyone has a question about, I would be happy to go over.
The only one I have a question on is, I'm trying to see it. It's like, it's in red.
Mm-hmm.
It's
what page are you on?
Page 43.
Okay.
The 17,000 something.
Oh, yes.
What is that saying?
Okay, good question. So this is called our admin cost that the county charges us, basically for collecting our property taxes. We have it each year, and it increases
this?
So
they charge us.
They charge us for collecting our fee or property taxes. Yes.
Wow.
It's an administrative fee. Yeah. So, and that goes up. I think when I started, it was probably around 15,000. So it has increased.
I didn't realize they charged that much to for.
Yeah.
I thought they just gave it.
No. Yeah. They also,
well,
I mean, they also
it would be minimal, like they have to charge, 3,000 or 4,000, you know.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Do you see with any of the funds, like any type of emergency or something that might pop up, or?
Lately with facilities, honestly, this has probably been the biggest year where, you know, we've seen leaks in the sheriff's office. They had a sewer backup, honestly, at one of the worst times when it was flooding, you know, things like that. So we have had more cost in facilities, which, as you can see, everything is getting a bit older.
Okay. Thank you, Karen.
Yeah, of course. And this is just receive and file, so I don't need any direction.
I think it looks really good.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
So are we done, Carrie?
No, item C.
Yeah, it's just receive and file unless there's any other questions with 8B.
Yeah, I have some questions. So this is a proposal to hire a grant writer for 30.
Oh, sorry. Are we on 8B or 8C?
I thought we were.
Did you move on to 8C?
We didn't move on to C yet.
Okay, where are we?
I was still on the budget unless there's.
Oh, okay.
Are you guys?
I'm sorry. I
misunderstood. No worries. I just didn't want to move on without.
I had a question on the budget. Go ahead.
Okay, so are we moving on to 8C?
Yes, moving on.
Thank you. Sorry. All right, I'm here. Okay, so thank you. In item 8C, we have a contract for grant writing consulting services to prepare an application for the Clean California grant application. So this is due at the end of April this year. So the Clean California grant, this is through Caltrans, which is the state of California. And based on our district services and the staff and consultants discussed about applying for 12 light poles along Highway 1, replacing this, you know, the older cement ones we have, replacing and increasing the dual trash cans that we replaced when we got the IWMA grant last year. You'll see them kind of closer to like the post office, the melodrama. It has recycling and trash on both sides. And then we discussed completing the old fire station mural that your board discussed in previous meetings. And then also replacing and installing landscape to improve the district properties along Highway 1, which would be our property here, Sheriff's Building, and in front of the old fire station. And based on the timeline and requirements of the Clean California application, staff is recommending utilizing MNS Engineering as a grant writing consultant. So this would require a budget adjustment, and it is a part of your agenda package today, and that budget adjustment would be out of the garbage, the lighting, and the facilities fund equally at a little bit over $11,000 each. So for a total of $33,085. So with that, we're happy to answer any questions.
Go ahead, Derek.
Thank you.
Director.
So do we know how much the grant is going to be?
So it looks like you're not allowed to ask for more than $5 million. And
I like the amount.
I think you can work with that, right? Yeah. So the amount, the limit was $5 million, and there's no minimum award. So applications that request $3 million or less are more competitive. I did read that section.
So we're going to be way under that. I just wanted to see how it compared to this 33. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a lot more.
So I have a lot of questions about this. I guess first off, and maybe this is just because I'm a junior director here and. These discussions took place before I came on board, but as a director, I expect to be consulted. I expect a item on the agenda that, hey, this Clean California grant application opportunity is coming up. What would you directors like to have us go for? I don't see this as just a staff prerogative to conclude what the district is going to focus on in a grant application. It should be have direction, at least minimally discussion with the directors prior to coming to us with it already put together. The $33,000 expenditure for a grant writer, I understand that. It takes money to get money, often. But this grant proposal is basically to replace functioning concrete lights on Front Street. is that really the highest use of our $33,000 to apply for a multi-million dollar grant from Caltrans? This program is paying for the Oceano Plaza, not the program that we're talking about here, but that was where the funds came from, which is another Parks and Recreation responsibility. So I think that we should have some discussion about whether this is, I mean, these lights are part of the history of Oceano. They've been here for a long time. They're iconic. And I guess I'm putting this question to the directors. Is this how we want to utilize $33,000 of our money to apply for a grant to tear down light poles that are working and putting up something different? Are there other projects that would be, of higher benefit to the community?
Well, from what I understand with prior conversations that we had about this, is that we're not replacing them just with any light poles, but they're supposed to be more energy effective. Jump in, whoever remembers.
I think I can help a little
bit. Yeah, they're more
I don't know if anyone's modern. Noticed, but we've had some, for some reason now the light posts have been getting hit by vehicles. We know we've lost the one right out here in front, mm-hmm. and then the one down by Chacho's. And so if anyone's noticed, we have replaced the one by Chacho's with the new aluminum light post that looks like the old ones. And I agree about the iconic, and we all love our light posts, but they're getting, what is the cost now? To replace one, that's why we didn't get the concrete ones cost.
I believe it was around $10,000.
$10,000 versus how much was this one? $4,000? So, and they're always having trouble staying lit, because most of the time they're done. So this would be, an upgrade. I think it would look good with our plaza to have everything in unison. A lot of these old, there's a few of the old posts, but some of them have been replaced with some that aren't very attractive. Like there's a couple that are ready to fall over. And, of course, I love them all, but I think this is a really good thing for us to do to upgrade our front street for, I think it would look really nice. And that pole looks really nice. And I've had a lot of people tell me, I don't know if you've noticed it, but it's really nice. And to have them all like that down the street, I think would be very nice. And I think we can probably place, we have a couple over at the depot, we could maybe place another one of our old ones that we could, still have out for people to enjoy. So I think this is the garbage cans. And what was the other thing?
The landscaping.
Mural. The mural and then the landscaping.
The mural and landscaping. It's going to make our whole corridor here. And I think it'd be fun for us to start working on that mural again. Yeah. I think, isn't there a time limit here that this has to get in? I don't think we have time to redo it. I think we should go for what we can get now.
Can I ask you a question, Linda?
Yeah.
The revitalization plan, the 2013, has these, kind of architectural standards, kind of suggestions. Mm-hmm. Have you looked at, do we have a picture of the, well, we don't. This is something that the grant writers will put together, but there are some kind of standards in there that to kind of
like standards?
I'm not sure. I don't remember that.
I remember
that,
there but, was, yeah.
But I mean, there's a look to Front Street,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I would certainly trust you to be looking at, if you would be the light standard champion in terms of looking at something.
I love the light standards.
Looking for something that really fits in to that, to that look.
I have the 2013 plan, so I'll look at it and see what they had on there. But I really would love to see a uniform lights all bright. Well, too bright anymore.
That's a good image. I can understand that.
I think improving our streetscape helps maybe bring more business, more tourists to this part of town. So I think that would be a real improvement.
Well, Front Street could certainly use more efficient and brighter lighting so that all the people running back and forth to the melodrama.
Oh, and here when they go to their meetings, it's pitch black.
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
That's why I'd like to see one of the old ones. We have Marvin. We could put it right on the corner of the depot property there, and we'd we'd still have it for our...
Okay.
How much money exactly are we going to apply for?
So we haven't estimated what the total cost would be. This is just a contract to contract with MSN to assist us with us. Yeah. So there's no total estimate on what we would be applying for the Clean California grant yet. Just a contract to ask for assistance.
So to my initial point, Carrie, so it sounds like then we're just starting this process, and to what degree is this an interactive process with the directors and the grant writers and the staff? What's our role in this?
So their contract is attached, and I know there are clauses, so let me flip with you, MSN.
I mean, would we be able to weigh in on kind of landscaping where, or?
It's always something once we get a draft can be brought to the board.
So there's, if you look at Article 7 in the contract, that addresses assistance by the district.
What page is that, Mr. Martin?
I think it's on page 109.
Okay. It's going to take me forever to scroll there.
Article what?
Article 7. Assistance by district.
So maybe is the consultant going to come here and
make a presentation?
I'm not exactly sure. But typically in these types of situations, there is interaction between the board and the consultant. So we can always, and Mr. Clemens can usually ask the consultant to come up and make a presentation and things like that.
That's very fine.
Yeah, just as long as it's not after the fact.
Right, that we could put our input in.
I think then it maybe, I don't want to belabor it, but I think if Mr. Clemens is more proactive in this and solicitous of director input in the very beginning and sharing that with the grant writers, that would be good.
I think we talked about it here.
Okay.
I wasn't
present for that.
Yeah, because it was. He didn't just make,
It looks like application preparation. There is a section. I'm on page 115. Public engagement. So I assume there will be a point when, if we're going to engage the public, we would engage our board.
Yeah, it looks like there's subcontracting for that survey research that they're going to do, or maybe they're doing it in-house.
So if there's a requirement to engage the public, we would bring you.
Well, I'm more.
We'd have it here with you guys.
I'm interested in engaging the directors. Okay.
I'm ready to make a motion.
Go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the budget adjustment and contract for grant writing consultant services for the Clean California grant application to Caltrans.
I'll second that.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
And President Villa?
Yes. Okay. Next, we're on number 9, hearing items. I don't believe we have any. Received written communications? Late received written communications? Future agenda items? Do we have any?
I do. One is Mr. Clemens was going to research some costs and logistics to about hybrid meetings, and I just like to get that back up. And so I think getting it on the agenda is the best way to do that. So I guess I need to, President Villa, my first ask would be would you put that on the agenda for next meeting?
I mean, I'm for discussing this, but I don't, since the manager is out now, and I don't know if he has had time to research this.
Or well, maybe he hasn't had time to research it, but he can tell us what's happening.
Yeah.
Maybe he can do it under general manager's report, not on the agenda.
Or under as a general manager's report, okay. That would be fine with me. I'd like to get a report, and I don't know if I have to agendize it or not.
I know he had mentioned he wanted to see what was going to happen with this building before we started making investments on improving it and spending money. We're going to have to move.
I do recall that.
Yeah.
I do recall that, too, okay. But I thought he was going to look at do some research on what the costs would be. And so given that first reality, I guess we can just kick that can down the road and we'll wait to see what happens next week. And by hopefully April, we'll have that answered. The second agenda item is I would like to get And I wrote this to Mr. Clemens, and all of you directors received a copy of that letter, and I'll just to refresh your memory, I wrote to Mr. Clemens at our last meeting, and this was I wrote on the 18th. At our last meeting, you emphatically stated that LAFCO gave me bad information about the legality of a CSD board of directors to take a position of support for an event or action that was not specifically delineated in their LAFCO charter. Examples I can think of could possibly be a EcoSlow-sponsored Oceano Beach Cleanup Day or an organization's effort on behalf of community betterment, such as the Boys and Girls Club sponsoring a youth basketball summer league, or SlowCog applying for a grant to build sidewalks and flood control water recharge facilities in the community. You stated that this would violate government code and specifically stated Proposition 218 as your authority for your statement that such actions would be illegal. I would like a much more detailed and documented report and explanation on this by you and our legal counsel. I have again contacted LAFCO and requested more information and a meeting on this topic. I'm asking either you or President Villa to agendize this for our March 8th meeting. I would like to get this issue clarified once and for all. And I would like a legal opinion on it. I would like it researched. I'd like to know what the history of case law is around this. Basically, in terms of, I mean, I think the issue is, what are the freedom of speech rights of a community services district board of directors to advocate on behalf of their community for the betterment of their community, even if it is not in their realm of authority, but it's in the realm of their heart and their membership in the community. I did not receive a response to my letter from Mr. Clemens, which strikes me as being untimely per our bylaws. It's becoming a pattern, unfortunately. Although he did write to President Villa and said that this is something that can easily be explained to Director Varney and any other board member who wants to know by scheduling a meeting with me. This is not something that is useful to waste time on in a board meeting. I find that insulting, that my reasonable request.
Director Varney, you would like this to be agendized so that it's clear to you the legalities of what you can say in public as a person without getting into legal issues being a director here on the district, if I'm hearing you.
No, I'm talking about what, as I gave in the examples, well, can I just finish what I'm saying here, please?
Okay.
I believe that the question I'm raising is a critical one and a key one. I do not consider its consideration a waste of the board time. I gave a reasonable request to the general manager, and I got no response. And I'm actually getting a little frustrated with just being told, like, well, this is in government code, or this is this, or this is that. But there's really no real explanation, and it's just presented as a fait accompli, like, this is the truth. So I'm asking, I want to be educated. I want to understand what's going on. I'm smart enough to read legal documents or read case law or find out what's going on. And I've been told by other agencies, specifically LAFCO, that we're no different than a city council or a board of supervisors, that they can, you know, take stands on issues that they don't necessarily have authority on, but that impact their community. I mean, a classic example being when I came to this board many years ago, concerned about Phillip 66 bringing mile and a half long oil tanker trains through this community five times a week to be refined, bringing tar sands oil from Alberta, Canada to the Napomo Mesa. And it was a huge safety threat. And I was told by the existing directors, we can't say anything about that. But lots of other government agencies around the county were taking stands and saying, no, we don't want this. This is so. So I want to make this into a motion that we get a basically what I asked Mr. Clemens for.
These would be things like, you know, writing letters of support or, you know, speaking as a body in favor of or against certain things that may or may not be within the district's purview.
Exactly,
in terms of management.
Mr. Martin. Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
Just discussing and giving letters of support or things like that. And you just want clarification on it.
Right.
Okay, so I don't see why we can't have that, and we'll have counsel.
You can direct me to do that.
And he'll have time to do the homework and be prepared.
I'll work with Mr. Clemens on it as well.
Then you can educate us all.
So you would do that and not be on the agenda? It doesn't need to be an agenda.
It could be part of my report. If you want to have it on the agenda to discuss it or whatever, you can. But I think that you could just add it to the agenda as a report from legal counsel.
Okay.
That works.
I move that we do that.
A second.
Director Varney?
Yes.
President Villa?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, we're done with that.
Yep, that's it for me.
We have no future hearing items that I know of, no closed session, so it's adjourned.
I understood you now about what it is and stuff like that. Yeah.